Business joining us in the zone. Hi, buddy.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
It's going to take a little while to get used to that.
What's up, Chris?
Yeah, it will. But you know what? So far, it's been a lot of the same stuff I would have been doing anyway.
Same old stuff. I mean, you're the same old Chris, right? You're not going to start using fancy language now because you're the... What is your official title now? Arkansas Business, Northwest Arkansas Business Editor Guy?
I think that's it, yeah. Except we shortened it for the business card. This is Northwest Arkansas Editor.
Northwest Arkansas Editor, okay.
Yeah.
Chris, while we have you, and we just started, so hang on one second. We're going to get Blake from Benton here. He has a question about Nile Davis that perhaps you can help answer.
All right.
Blake?
Yes, what's up?
Fire away, buddy.
How's it going, man?
Good, how are you?
Blake from Benton. I'm out here with working for Middleton Heating Air out here, working on furnaces this cold day. Like the show, Justin, Pat, y'all had me cracking up the other day about the going over the bowl sheet. That was pretty hilarious.
Yeah,
I called in. What I want to talk about is been keeping up on Twitter and everything about Nile Davis. Apparently, quote, of course, everybody's got a source. Razorback Nation said he's going to go to the NFL. I just want to know what y'all's thoughts were on that, if you've heard anything different. And I'll hang up and listen.
Blake, thanks for all you do. Tell the folks at Middleton hello. We love them.
Appreciate it. Will do, man.
All right. Appreciate you, man. Take care. Chris, any insight on Nile? I've seen reports that indicate he is. I've seen reports saying he's day-to-day and has not yet made a firm decision.
Yeah, I've seen the reports, too. And what's interesting is the report, I think, out of Dallas was that Mike Conley Sr. was going to represent him. But I'm looking at the registered agent list of NFL agents, and I'm not seeing Conley on there.
Hmm.
So that might explain why he's all of a sudden day-to-day about leaving.
That would do it.
Odd situation.
He is a freak talent. I think we all agree that if he goes to the combine, he will blow it up. I mean, he'll bench press a ton. He'll run a great 40. He'll run the drills and do the shuttle and all that stuff that you're supposed to do to impress. I think he'll put up remarkable numbers. And I really, Chris, when I was watching the LSU game, I couldn't help thinking, man, I can't believe Arkansas is in this. And also, I couldn't help thinking, A, this is way better than Niles played all year, and B, this seems to be a bit of an audition for the next level.
That's the same thing that ran through my head is, you know, one, I mean, he was fresh because he had not played in a whole lot of games. So I think that helped him look better. But it did. It felt like here's a guy who's going out and wants to, you know, make the most of what he hopes is his final game. And I don't think it was any secret that Nile had no intention of coming back after this year. And I think we talked about it on here before. I was going to be surprised if he came back even as bad a year as he had. And it certainly looks like that's the direction he's headed.
Do you think the coaching change has any, I guess, help or hurt as far as his decision goes?
I'd have to ask Nile that for sure. I just knowing how badly, not just that he wanted to get to the NFL, but he needed to get to the NFL. And we've talked about it before. He's got an incredible story. I think he was 13, 14 years old when he started working to help provide for his family in Texas. And not just so he could buy new sneakers, like they actually needed him to help out. So I just think I think he is motivated to get out, and his health obviously has been an issue. And then financially, I just think it's something he really needs to do.
Wishing the best no matter what, but I got to think he would put up some pretty interesting numbers if he came back next season. I guess a lot of that depends on what kind of offensive line he'll be working behind and how recruiting goes there. Any talk on that? Have you heard any buzz? I know recruiting's not exactly your bag necessarily, but have you heard, you know, any buzz around on the kind of reaction they're getting from recruits?
You know, I know they had a couple of recruits in last night. They had a recruiting dinner, and I want to say those guys were maybe defensive players, but I think from what I've read and from a couple interviews I've heard with Coach Bielema, it sounds like, you know, they've been well received. Now, a big part of that and how they close in recruiting is going to be what kind of staff he can put together and, you know, how quickly they get this thing, going from that perspective. I think it's hard to recruit if you don't have a staff. Bielema's out meeting with recruits and talking to high school coaches and trying to make as much of a push as he can right now.
Chris Ash named defensive coordinator yesterday. Chris, what was your thought on that, and have you seen any information on the kind of compensation package he'll receive?
Yeah, I'm still waiting to find out what he's going to make at Arkansas. I know he was making $211,600 at Wisconsin, which would have made him the second lowest paid defensive staff member last year at Arkansas.
I saw he'd gotten a recent raise, though.
Yeah, he was still...
So he was at 265 after getting a raise from the 211,600 in 2011.
And that would have put him near the bottom of the list still.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, with making 265 compared to Paul Haynes, who was making 475 as defensive coordinator. So
yeah, we were talking about this, like about $120,000 per win this year for the coordinators at Arkansas.
Not a great effort on their part.
Not a great investment for sure. So what do you, I mean, when you look, I'm sure you looked at his resume, though, Chris. What are your thoughts on him as a hire and the job that he's done, I guess, how the defense at Wisconsin has ranked over the years under his direction?
Well, I'm trying to remember how many years he has been at Wisconsin, but I know every year that Bielema has been there, they've had a top 25 defense. Now, part of that is probably coaching. Part of that is playing in the, you know, Big Ten, which is not really known for offensive firepower. But I think the track record is good. If I remember correctly, Chris Ash is a guy who has recruited in Florida. And I think it's, you know, obviously an area where Arkansas needs, not just to get into, I mean, because they recruited Florida, but they need to actually get a return on the investment there. So if he's able to get in and help them there, then I think it's as big a hire from what he can do on the field as, you know, what he can do in recruiting.
The defense does not come with an asterisk as far as the numbers that come out. The win total is what it is, and the fact that they're going to the Rose Bowl definitely does come with an asterisk, but the stats don't lie here. So here's some of the numbers that came out in the release. I'm just going through this. Defense ranked 13th in the NCAA in total defense, tied for 19th in scoring defense this year. Last year, when his first year as defensive coordinator, 13th in the country in scoring defense, and 15th in total defense. I would say pretty solid. He came there as the defensive backs coach in 2010 and has been a defensive coach going back to 96 when he started as a volunteer assistant at his alma mater. So pretty, bless you, Pat, pretty solid resume from at least the last couple of years as the DC in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean, it's an impressive hire. It's going to be interesting to see who else from that staff comes from Wisconsin. And how quickly they'll get here. It sounds like with Ash, he's going to coach through the Rose Bowl, and it seems like maybe that's something that Barry Alvarez is going to require of those guys. If they leave, is they've got to stick through the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, I get why he's wanting to do that, but...
Sure. Well, of course you want to have him. I mean, you don't want too much responsibility, although he doesn't seem to have a problem taking a six-figure payment for coaching the Rose Bowl, which Pat pointed out earlier. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. When coaching money has been an issue throughout, and one of the things that your former head coach brings up is coaching money, and then you get yourself a $118,000 check for one game, and, oh, by the way, if they win, another $50,000 bonus, which I'm not even saying the guy's not entitled to, but my point is if that was an issue and your head coach pointed out, and Chris, you just made a great case for it, when you're talking about their DC making $200,000 less than Arkansas's was, that's a pretty glaring issue, and for you to accept a check in that range is a little remarkable to me. As Pat pointed out, he's making $1 million as the AD already.
Yeah, eighth highest paid AD in the country, and I think at one point he was going to get over $200,000 for coaching the bowl, and then when that became public, you know, Barry Alvarez says, "Oh no, wait, it's only $120,000 that I'm giving myself," and I understand wanting to be compensated, but I get that. But to do it that publicly and to take, you know, that much money when you couldn't come up with money to keep assistants around, you know, that's not a good look for Barry Alvarez.
Yeah, to me that reeks of ego. The whole idea that he claims that the team wanted him to coach, which I don't believe that for a second, and then the idea that the big sticking point was you can't pay the assistants, and he's over there making $1 million and collecting $120,000 just to coach the game.
Yeah.
He's not getting his full AD salary, should be pointed out, too, during the month of December, but he is getting a $118,000 raise for the month of December.
Okay.
So he's getting 90% of Bielema's coaching salary for the month, And then he's taking 10% of the AD salary, which puts him at 203, which is a one-time $118,500 increase for the month. So that was the deal. So he's not taking his full check as AD plus the coaching money.
I gotcha.
So, but still, it's a substantial raise for the 1 month. So for what that's worth. And I don't know how they'll do there. I guess it's not really that big of a concern to me at this point. I'm more concerned about how the staff is running out. Have you been given any timetable, any idea what kind of timetable he has for at least naming his assistants, not necessarily getting them on campus, Chris?
I feel like I saw a tweet from him last night that said staff will be in place by January. So,
I mean, if that's not solid, I don't know what is. I feel like I thought I saw a tweet. Or put it that.
I'm trying to remember.
I got
you. Who knows? That may have been one of the 57 fake Brett Bielema accounts that are out there now.
That is true. Pat made a good point, though. His legitimate Twitter account went back at a caller who gave him a hard time or a tweet. Did you see
that? That was so awesome. Yep.
That was good. For those who missed it earlier, we were talking about it. Somebody came in and said, you can't win. What is it? You can't win championship games or something like that. You can't win big in the Big Ten, but you think you can coach in the SEC.
Yeah.
And he said, check the stats and go back to sleep.
That was fantastic. I like it. I mean, you don't want to see your head coach do that all the time. But I told somebody on Twitter who was like, I can't believe you would do that. That's not what you want your head coach doing. Sure it is. It helps establish his personality.
Mm-hmm.
It endears him to the fan tier. So, I mean, if he's doing that crap every time somebody criticizes him, that's not good. But if you sneak one of those in from time to time, especially when you're first starting, I like it. I think it's a good strategy.
Well, he is not going to be scared, that's for sure. He's a guy that will not be afraid to stare down Saban. You know, I was talking to somebody about this yesterday, and as great as Petrino was while he was here, I do think Saban was in his head a little bit, and I think...
Yep.
And we all talked about it like it was a good thing, but maybe in hindsight it wasn't, that you obsess over an individual opponent in game and trying to chess match with the other coach and planning for that game year-round and thinking about it and having it stick in your craw so bad that, it's a point of concern when it shouldn't be, maybe. But I'm not sure that's going to happen with the new head coach, and that may or may not work out well for him, but I don't think he's going to be the least bit intimidated or freaked out about the challenge of facing an Alabama.
I don't either, and I like that. And I think there is something to what you're saying. I do think Bobby put incredible pressure on himself to win. He knew he had to beat Alabama. He blew his best chance in 2010, and then, we would hear him in the spring talk about they were doing installation for Alabama. And so, yeah, I think maybe Saban was in his head a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And to not only were you getting beat by the guy, you were losing by an average of 3 touchdowns. That had to bother him.
Chris, saw a – well, we'll get into that in a second. Let's talk about the new head coach at your alma mater, Arkansas State.
Yeah.
Harsin is a guy that I guess probably is not foreign to most people around here who follow college football and – certainly for those of us who follow closely what has gone on with the Broyles Award, and we'll go over some of those numbers here, but I guess initial reaction and I would think you got to be thrilled to get a guy of that quality after having two guys as high a quality as you had previously stay for just 1 year.
Yeah, I think, he fits the mold of what they've done in the past, and he's even a little younger than Hugh Freeze and Gus Malzahn, but he's 35. He's had success at Boise, then he was at Texas for a couple years. So he's a young guy, runs a pretty high-powered offense, or has in the past. So I like that approach. And, they talked a lot last year about becoming the Boise of the South, which I think ASU fans now have grown tired of hearing. But they started talking about that last year. And who better to help you get there than a guy who actually was at Boise and mm-hmm. knew how they built their program.
Without a doubt. David Basil sent me a note here last night, I guess he sent it out to a few of us, about Broyles Award winners and finalists currently serving as head coaches. Not a bad list. Kerry Patterson, Chris Peterson, Will Muschamp, Jimbo Fisher, Charlie Strong, Mark D'Antonio, Gus Malzahn, Gary Anderson, who, by the way, was the WAC coach of the year this year, Dana Holgorsen, David Cutcliffe, Paul Christ, David Christensen, who is at Wyoming, at least for the time being. Kevin Wilson, who's at Indiana now. Jeff Quinn at Buffalo. Garrick McGee, Norm Chow, Paul Petrino, Jim Svoboda, and Brian Harsin, 19th head coach after being a Broyles Award finalist or winner. Pretty impressive. Other guys who were head coaches aren't now. Gene Chizik, Ralph Friedgen, Mangino Shannon, Chuck Long, Keith Burns, Norris Wilson, who was at Columbia, Stan Parrish, good guy, Shane Montgomery from Miami of Ohio, and Carl Torbush, who was at North Carolina. It is, I think it's around 40% of the guys who are finalists have gone on to become head coaches is what the number was that Basil sent out. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's a good crew.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I've done a great job with that.
My understanding is from news I've gotten from behind the scenes, and I'm sure we'll get details on his contract later, that there is going to be I don't even want to call it slightly, I would say a substantially more serious buyout for the first couple of years for Coach Harsin.
Yeah, and I think that may have wound up being part of the sticking point with Bobby Petrino, because I think they wanted to go a little bit higher with that buyout than what he was willing to go.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine Petrino agreeing to any kind of a huge buyout just based on, you know, where he wants to be in a year or two.
Yep. But I think you have to try to lock these guys in for a couple years. It's nice to become a program where people are coming after your coaches. I mean, Cincinnati is a really good example of, yeah, you know, program that's been able to sustain success and have their coaches go on to big jobs. Mark D'Antonio and Brian Kelly and now Butch Jones. So Butch Jones, is that his name?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. That sounded weird for some reason.
No, I know. It seems like anytime you say Butch, it should be followed by Davis.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, I still think he'll end up somewhere.
Tuberville. Did that surprise you? Like it shocked the rest of us?
Yeah.
That leads me to my last point, too. But go ahead and your reaction to him going to Cincinnati first.
I was surprised. Yeah, I mean, I was surprised that he wound up at Cincinnati. Although, you know, when you kind of look at what led up to that, I don't think he was really happy in Lubbock.
Yeah.
And then the AD at Cincinnati was an associate AD at Auburn when Tubbs was there. Mm. So, you know, when you start looking at it from that perspective, it doesn't surprise me all that much. Although, and you guys probably saw this, Tubbs pulling the old, I'm going to go out for bread and milk, and then never returning. Did y'all see that?
That was the thing I was going to bring up last with you. I saw it on your Twitter feed, and I appreciate you linking that. It's a great story. I'll let you tell everybody about it for those who haven't seen it yet.
So Tubbs was at a recruiting dinner at Texas Tech at a steakhouse. Had a couple of recruits there. He got up in the middle of dinner and never returned. Only for recruits to find out the next day that he was in Cincinnati.
Wow. Gets up in the middle of dinner, doesn't say thank you, doesn't say goodbye, doesn't say I don't feel well, nothing. Just disappears according to the story.
Yeah.
So he didn't say anything to them.
Yeah, I'm going out for smokes, kids. I'll be right back.
I think what he said is, I'll be right back, and then under his breath said, or maybe I won't. Here's the story on Big Lead Sports, which is where thebiglead.com is the website that Chris linked the story. The waitress brought our food out, and we thought Tuberville went to the bathroom, but he never came back to dinner. The next thing I know, the next day, he made an announcement that he's going to Cincinnati.
Who's quoted?
This is according to... I don't know. I don't see anybody quoted on that, but I'm reading it as a quote. I don't know. Texas Tech athletics spokesman Blaine Beal confirmed Tech coaches did take players to dinner that night, which said is a common occurrence, but was unaware of any incidents. The next morning, the recruits were scheduled to take a tour of the campus, but Tuberville did not show up for it. Oh, this is Danzy, whoever that is. According to Danzy, it says. I don't see him quoted in here. I thought I printed the whole story.
It's a classic right there, boy.
That's something. Offensive line coach Chris Thompson, who was named interim head coach, came back to the group and broke the news that Tuberville had been named the new coach in Cincinnati. That is something.
And I said this on Twitter earlier, I'm a big defender of coaches. I think it's silly And I get it because fans get emotionally attached to their teams and their coaches. I always think it's silly when we beat these guys up for taking new jobs. I mean, you know, Gus Malzahn is getting killed in Jonesboro, but he basically tripled his salary, or at least, you know, doubled it.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, there are more resources there. So I don't, you know, he probably regrets saying, if you think I'm only going to be here a year, you don't know me. I mean, that's why people are upset. But I mean, come on, the guy got a better job. You move on. We would never get mad at a buddy of ours that works at a law firm and then, you know, gets double the salary to go to a better law firm or bank or whatever.
There's no argument there, Chris. My problem is the smoke blowing and the I'm in it for the long haul. I want to turn it into the Boise. You know, just say, look, I mean, here's my thing. Don't blow smoke up my backside if you intend to take the first great opportunity that comes your way. And I have no problem with him going certainly to a place that he's very familiar with. I have no issue with any of that. But it was all the talk, just nonsensical at this point. And here's the thing. If you don't want to admit what everybody's thinking, then you can talk around it. But you don't need to sit in there and go, I'm in it for the long haul. Give me a break. Well, that's what's irritating to people. I think everybody can accept the fact he left for a better opportunity for him and his family. Got no problem with that. But don't blow smoke up everybody's backside the whole time you're there. If you intend to take – there's a way to go about it. I don't expect you to go, oh, I'm only going to be here until something better comes along. And I expect you to go, hey, go A-State and be pro A-State and talk about the cool things you can do. But don't say the stuff that you don't – I mean, you know you don't mean it because you know if a good opportunity comes up, you're going to go. I mean, it's silly.
I will say this. I think Auburn was one of a handful of jobs that he would have left for. And I don't know. I mean, we don't know what's in the guy's mind. We don't know his heart. Maybe he really didn't mean it, and then he just wound up getting too good of an opportunity to pass up. Or maybe, you know, maybe he's just a turd.
Well,
that's possible.
And I think he's a good man, I do. But here's the thing. You know what Bobby Petrino did? And I hate to compare the two and give Bobby the favorable light on this one, but he said, you never know what the future holds. We're happy to be here now. And that's the right thing to say because you know what? If Auburn or somebody worthwhile calls him, he's out, and he's going to leave the recruits at dinner too.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. It's a tough situation, you know. But if you're Gus and you're saying, hey, you never know. I don't know if I'll be here. That's not a good way to raise $25 million for your football.
I understand that, but
you know.
But if that's what's in your heart, Chris, that's what you need to talk around it. There's a way to say it without saying it, if you know what I mean. And I give Bobby said all the right things at his press conference. He said all the right things in the interview with Scott Van Pelt. All the right things in the interview with Mike and Mike. He said all the right things, and he didn't make promises that he has no intention of keeping. And everybody there, and everybody else knows that if somebody good comes along, he's jumping at it. So that to me is the right thing to do. And it's a tough deal, but when you're at a stepping stone job, you realize everybody knows the score. But don't tell me something different. One more thing, and we'll let you go here. This Danzy kid that was quoted in the story, Devontae Danzy, is an offensive lineman, JUCO kid that was in there for the official visit. He was one of the guys at dinner, I guess. So it's a great story. I don't know if Tuberville will ever address it, but it is a great story. And if it only just lives in coaching lore as an unproven story, it's fine by me. It's a great story regardless.
I love that story.
Reminds me of the dude in what was the movie with Eddie Murphy? Oh, Harlem Nights. It's the guy that gets kind of suckered in by the prostitute working for the other side. And he calls up his family, goes, it's Jimmy. I ain't never coming home no more. See you later. Hangs up the phone. At least he had the courtesy call. He gave the courtesy call, at least. I give him that.
Yep. Yeah. You know, I've never seen a movie.
You should. Do yourself a favor. Look, you got a whole holiday weekend to hang out. You need to do it.
Done.
All right. You're easy. Chris, great having you back on. I'll let you get to your very, very important meeting. Now, you go right from sports business talk right into. What are you doing today?
It is a economic forecasting luncheon in Fort Smith.
Sucks for you, man. But I appreciate you. You know what? Just goes. You are more flexible than the average Olympic gymnast, my friend.
Yep. Well, we'll see. We'll see if I understand a word that's said today.
Forecast. You lost me a forecast. All right, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, fellas.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. Chris Bond of Arkansas Business, the Northwest Arkansas editor.